May we pray together. God of earth and air, of height and depth, discovering who you are and who you want us to be is not an easy task. God of morning, noontide, and evening of our lives, we now seek you in the voice of your changeless holy word. Through cloudy minds and senseless strivings, direct us in these moments. In the name of Christ. Amen. Today, the Christian world celebrates the second Sunday of Pentecost, which features Trinity Sunday, as you noticed written in the worship folder. And our secular world celebrates Father's Day. So on this festive Sunday, I would like to direct our thoughts toward one of our everyday concerns and our everyday struggles. And that obviously, from the title of the meditation, is priorities. In these few minutes, may we do some exploring into the priorities that make up our daily lives. Perhaps you haven't thought too much about priorities in this early morning hour. We all have some things in life that we are committed to, you know. I think it wise that we ask ourselves from time to time, and today would be a good time, where we're going with our lives. What are the goals? What are the things that we're striving for? If this sounds a little too philosophical and abstract in such a beautiful morning in June, allow me to ask a few more questions that bring it more down to earth. What helps you to roll out of bed in the morning? What gives you the necessary spark to move through the day? Why didn't you do what thousands of folks do every year? Walk off into the sunshine and never be heard of again. The other evening, I found myself skimming through an article in last month's publication of Psychology Today, and it gave me some insight into the difficulties that we have for choosing and coping with the struggles of priorities and stresses that are part of our lives. I was amazed to learn that in our nation, in 2010, we consumed over 20,000 tons of aspirin, or drugs that are related to what an aspirin does. Those 20,000 tons of pills breaks down into 225 tablets per person per year. I didn't figure that out. The article said that. This breaks down to two-thirds of a tablet per person per day. Now, the point the article was making is not the point that I got. The point I got of the article is that we seem to have an awful lot of headaches in our life. At least we're taking a lot of pills for those headaches. Even those of us who are retired, and many of us are, and we thank God for that, retired from the slings and the arrows of the fast lane and the strain and stress that goes with everyday life. Even those of us living in this day and this age find it rather hectic wherever we are. And I can assure you that strain gives me headaches just like it does you. We might think that stress is a new experience. which arrived with IRS audits and crime and wars and factory closings and politics and an economy that has us all very worried. But that's not so. I'd like to share with you what Jesus had to say to a dear friend back in the first century when it comes to strain and stress and choosing priorities. Reading from the Gospel according to Luke in the Message translation. As they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the Master, hanging on to every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all that she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them, and said, "Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned me in the kitchen? Tell her to lend me a hand." The Master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course, and it won't be taken from her." His special friends are the familiar Mary and Martha. You remember they had a brother, Lazarus, who Christ will raise at a later date from the dead. And the three of them live in a small village named Bethany, just a short 3 miles in those days from the capital city of Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem and Bethany are almost one city. We're not told where the band of disciples were when he knocks on the door of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It's easy for us to picture the ladies scurrying about, rearranging the room. There's a final glance into the hall mirror just to check appearances and the quiet opening of the door. They sort of present a picture of just sort of sitting there, passing the time in conversation until this special unexpected friend should arrive. And I'm certain after the loving hugs, the three will sit to share the joy of Christ's stopover. But not for long. Shortly, Martha excuses herself and goes off to the kitchen to hustle up some refreshments. Isn't it interesting that even in the first century, as well as today, food seems to provide the center of fellowship? The trouble begins when Mary remains in the living room and Martha is stuck in the kitchen. Martha has disturbing feelings. They remind me of a friend who always got somewhat annoyed by similar feelings and situations, and observing in frustration to anyone who would listen. "There's no glory in doing dishes, and that's what I'm stuck with." Very true. And this was the trouble with Martha. But no one was listening. When Martha's pan clanging and pot banging didn't get the response from Mary, Martha sticks her head in the door and very disgustedly says, "It certainly would be nice to sit around and chit-chat while I'm breaking my back over a fire." Can't you just see Martha saying that? Since this appeal of Mary's slacked unfairness didn't work. She directs her frustration to the guest, of all things, to Jesus. But she didn't expect the conversation to go the way it did. Martha, Jesus said, just because you've chosen to be hyper, don't be mean to Mary, who has sat here and joined me in the conversation. It's rather simple words, and we would not expect that, but Jesus is judging that people are more important than things. And that's the gym. There is a place for being orderly, for being cleanliness, for having gourmet meals. There's a place for getting things done and having a place for everything and keeping agendas no matter what. And this is important. But Christ is saying it shouldn't get top billing. It's like the person who can't stop what they're doing even when a friend comes by for a short visit. And we don't realize we've done it until it's over. There is a vital lesson in our Lord's words for each of us in our own ordering of priorities. People are more important than things. But many times we take better care of our things than we take care of our people. Cleanliness of a family room is not as important as the ones who dirtied it. A glittering kitchen floor is not as important as those who scuff it. Even so, today I'm sort of recalling, as I think about these statements, of something that still haunts me some 40 years ago. I remember very clearly saying in heated words around our family dinner table, I wish you kids would just drink more milk than you're spilling. Oh, you can acknowledge that statement. And you, like I, wish my three kids would be back home now, especially on Father's Day, and spill all the milk they wanted to. There is no doubt that Martha believed what she was doing was important. We all think so. Refreshments for a friend. What Jesus chided her about were her priorities. She was fussing over his hunger, and yet he wanted to share with her the bread of life. I often remember the words of a silver-haired saint lecturing in our seminary class of practical theology some 55 years ago. His focus one day was on how busy we can get as clergy bogged down in churchy business. He warned we young fellows, and in those days there were only fellows in seminary, that we could get so engrossed in sermon preparation and Bible study class and meetings and telephone calls up to our ears and over our heads and in such pastoral duties that we might not hear the rap on our door, the whisper for help, the call for direction, the stop at a troubled household. People are important. Yes, Jesus reminds us that sitting at his feet is where our strength and our vitality come. Mary is the wise one in hearing and reading and praising and feasting on Christ's words, the bread of life. Might we take time to listen to what the Lord had to say to Mary and to those who will listen? Today, Jesus is instructing us to adopt very simply Mary's plan: to find a quiet place and have a receptive heart, a listening ear, a time alone with His Word, with meditation, with prayer. That's simple enough. We all have stresses in our lives, even when we're retired. There is no shortage of anxiety, but you know, that is not bad. Some of this anxiety is even good. It keeps us in tone and on our toes. And granted, Jesus would have had nothing to eat if Martha had not been anxious about preparing dinner. And Christ's words in the Gospel of Matthew perhaps would not ring as true as they should. Matthew said, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you." In 2006, a friend at Christmas time gave us a leather-bound book of empty pages. He urged us to fill those pages with a daily journal, or to use as a guest book, or an address book, or whatever we might choose. Since retirement 16 years ago, Gene and I have become Oprah fans. Many of you know that. And we're going through sadness these days now that she's off the air. She has a book, so she says, on her coffee table, in which she writes, "Feelings I am certain of." When we learned that, we thought, that's a good idea. That's a good use for our leather-bound book. And it lays on our coffee table in Florida. And as I was preparing the thoughts for today, there's a good addition that I'm going to write when we return to Florida for that book. The greatest things in life aren't things. So, in these 7 days until we meet to worship in this space again, may we practice being open to our God, who can help us turn from our stress. Let us not lose our God-given perspectives, the biblical and spiritual priorities. May we continue to be open to God working and healing us in God-centered priorities each day. Let us pray. Blessed God, help us to cultivate our hearts and lives wisely, giving space and time to what is most important. Teach us to seek your kingdom and your righteousness above all else. Amen.